So the last part of the talk is just looking at the Computer Clubhouse at MLE, which is looking at one of these partnerships that I was talking about. The basic background is that the Clubhouse started as a collaboration between the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which is the university in the States that is our sister lab, essentially. They have a media lab there. And the Boston Computer Museum in the early 90s. It's amazing, like, we don't have a science museum in Dublin. It's incredible that we don't. It's something I would love to build, because so many good things come out of that when you're looking at education and interactivity in a very, very different kind of way. But anyway, basically what happens is Professor Mitch Resnick, who's now directing a group in the MIT Media Lab, he was one of the co-founders of the Clubhouse. He's an amazing man. He's been over to Ireland many times, a great supporter of our Clubhouse. But he was one of the founders of this thing, and he built this Clubhouse with the Boston Computer Museum. And the idea was that they brought kids in from the surrounding areas that would be from particularly disadvantaged backgrounds, and they worked with state-of-the-art technologies, with volunteers from MIT. In 1997, the project won a huge award. It won what's called the Peter Drucker Award for Innovation. And Intel then agreed to build 100 clubhouses around the world. And they gave $25 million for that. And from that, we've got about 75 of them built now at the moment. What was called the Computer Clubhouse Network is around. So all these clubhouses are a network. Most of them are in the States, as many in South America. Only a couple in Europe, as a couple in Israel and Palestine and Oman and so on. So what is it? Well, it works on four principles. It's to support learning through design experiences. So the idea simply is, what's important is that people are actively engaged in creating something that's meaningful. You help members build on their own interests, so it's passion again. Cultivate an emerging community. Volunteers effectively run these things. It's managed, obviously, by funds to keep the whole thing coordinated. But at the end of the day, it's experts in the digital media and technology world that come in and actually work with the children on their projects, and help them with their projects. And then you create an environment of respect and trust. There's no one breathing down your neck, here's one quote, no right or wrong way, just experimentation and exploration. And it's genuine two-way feedback. After a while, what tends to happen is the kids tend to give feedback to the mentors, and the mentors give feedback to the kids. And they take that criticism in a way that they would never take it at school, because they want to learn. It's cultivate their interest from day one. We're going to evolve this model. It's a fantastic initiative. It deserves long-term sustainability, and we want to evolve the model so it's integrated with the business parks, universities, schools, and so on. There's two of them in Ireland. There's one in Blanchardstown. There's one on the Media Lab campus. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to build one in Northern Ireland this year. But if I had my way and I had government funding, you'd build a lot of these. Like, build them in all kinds of different things. Integrate them into universities, into business parks, into even, you know, the likes of a Jesuit well-paid school and so on. And the idea simply is that they're centres for learning, but it's not in a measured way. It's about building confidence. And really, once you have confidence, you have everything. Okay. So just quickly about the Liberties area. It's the West... do you know much about the Liberties area? Should I go through this? Traditionally, the West Brigade of Dublin. It was once the engine of the Dublin's economy. Thousands of jobs in all kinds of different industries, leather brewing, distillery, and so on. And when the brewery started pulling back, unemployment was rampant. I mean, the Coopers was one of the foremost trades, for example, in the Liberties. And when the kegs went from wooden to stainless steel, that whole trade died. Housing issues, many tenements were in bad repair. Guinness was shrinking. At one point, Guinness was a great supporter of tenements around the brewery itself, but with the new management, profits-based, I think my dad's here, he'll probably be able to confirm this, but I think it was 5,000 employees at one stage in Guinness. I think it's about 200 employees now, and they're generating even more money. But, you know, the area is totally run down, and we have a school right next to me in Dublin Europe, and it's closed, actually. It's been closed for as long as I've been there. Youth services and facilities, minimal, and it's considered one of the most underserved communities in Dublin. And when I joined Media Lab Europe, I said to myself, like, here we are building this state-of-the-art technology lab in an area where people are thinking we're building rocket ships. I mean, that was literally the quote when the local community said, what are you doing there? They said, oh, you're rocket scientists, whatever, you know? But the government had identified this area as an area in need, and I don't know if you've heard of the integrated area plan, but there's a couple of them around the city, Ballymun, for example, would be another one. nails down the South Integrated Area Plan. But the Coombs Liberty Integrated Area Plan is a very ambitious project. I mean, there's millions, hundreds of millions actually going into this. In the Fatima Mansion Development Plan, there's 200 million going into it. But here's the objective, is to bring about sustainable urban regeneration through intervention that achieves a balance between social, physical and economic renewal. So it seemed unusual to have a digital media district, which Media Lab Europe is the primary tenant, and not have some very strong connection to the community. And that was ultimately what the motivation for the clubhouse came from. We had to connect back to the community. Not because it was part of our mandate, but it made so much sense. I don't know if other people have seen it, but the digital hubs, the area just next to the Guinness Brewery, east of the Guinness Brewery, I should say, we're just north of Thomas Street. We're sorry, south of Thomas Street. There's our campus there. Pointing on the screen here as if that was helping, but you can see it up there on the top end of the Media Lab Europe. I mean, if anyone is Irish, if you draw a triangle joining Oliver Bond, Theresa Gardens, and Fatima Mansions, if you join those points up and make them a triangle, the centroid, or the centre of that triangle, the centre of gravity of that triangle, is actually Media Lab Europe. So we are in an area where there has been a lot of unrest, social unrest in the past, and it's an area that you need to connect to. It's important. So basically, here's some of the partners. Intel provided funding. The City of Dublin Youth Services Board came in. They're the overseeing body for the disadvantaged youth work. And the community women, South West Inner City Network, actually run the clubhouse. They're actually running a whole series of community services in the area. And then we have the Digital Clubhouse Network. We have support from America and various other clubhouses worldwide, which is fantastic, actually, because you get perspectives from Ramallah, South America, and so on. And they all meet up a couple of times a year to discuss their different perspectives. And that's basically how it works there. On your right-hand side, we have an advisory group, which is all the different partnerships together. We have City Dublin Services, we have Intel, we have the Clubhouse Network, we have the community. Media Lab Europe, Trinity, DIT, NCAD, they all provide volunteers a couple of hours a week. They come to the clubhouse and they work with the children, teaching them how to use all the various digital media packages. The clubhouse is on the campus, so the kids are coming and going all the time. And it was a huge issue at the time. A big risk, obviously, when you worry about security and so on. And there was a lot of resistance around that time. I mean, that door has been broken into a couple of times. But in the year that the clubhouse has been running, you can imagine with digital cameras, they have their own music studio, their television, so nothing has ever been stolen, which is incredible. And we had our anniversary, first anniversary on Saturday, which was fantastic. But it's a great initiative. And why is it great? Because it's this idea of crossing the digital divide. There is no, in my opinion, actually, there is no point just throwing technology at the issues of poverty. If you think about it, I was born into a family with a wonderful, support and a great university education and great mentors all my life. But I didn't really choose that. In many ways, it just happened, an accident of birth. And many people that find themselves in extreme situations of poverty obviously didn't choose that either. And unless there's a meeting of the waters between those that have and those that have not, I really think we're going nowhere, and it's ultimately unsustainable. And particularly around, there's an awful tendency to just throw technology at a problem. In the liberties area, you'll see computer clubs all around the place, but no one's actually going in and saying, this is how you use it, this is how you support all that kind of stuff. And I actually believe the fundamental issue, the real magic of the clubhouse is that it's people that have gone to Trinity and MIT and UCD and are sitting there with kids that have dropped out of school and are working on digital media projects together. And that's the real magic for me. The projects, in many ways, the technology, that's all secondary. So why have a clubhouse? It's a perfect example of how technology can mediate the realization of a society built around a people-centric vision. Survives and thrives in the voluntary element. I mean, if you look at the International Year of Disability, we've got 120,000 people and volunteered for the Special Olympics. 30,000 in the end were chosen. Well, I mean, that's a fantastic indicator of passion and energy there in this particular sector. And as I said, I think something powerful emerged in this with our connection of people, place, and purpose. I think once you start mixing people with those differences, it's very powerful. So that's it. It's on the MLE campus. It's in the heart of the Liberties. We're partnering with community groups and corporate partners. We get voluntary support from the MLE staff at the local university and